isn't everything, he wouldn't know. He's never lost. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hot flames of fire roaring at my back. As she disappeared, but soon she returned. In her hand was a bottle of wine.
In the other,
a glass.
A glass. She poured some of the wine from the bottle into the glass. It's 4 o'clock Eastern time. And just before she drank it, she said, it's Friday the 19th of December 2014, 5 more shopping days until Christmas, plenty of time. Don't forget, your local convenience store has many fine gifts, and they're open till 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve. That's what we like. Later in the program, your telephone calls. At 870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Later, a roundtable with John Shannon, Elliot Friedman, and Scott Stinson. Have I met Scott Stinson? I don't think so. He's been on, but I've never met him. All right, so I'll meet him. Are we getting fed today, too? No? Really? There's no one will feed us on the Friday before Christmas. Exactly, a bunch of cheap bastards. What the hell is that about? There's no one out there, no fast food mogul wants some free advertising for a little bit of food. Well, I know we got fed yesterday. I wanted to get fed again today. It's Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Season's greetings. Huh. Well, there'll be no wine for them. Now, there was something I was going to say at the beginning of this program, and now it's between spill the wine and not getting fed, I've forgotten. And I've still forgotten. 870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. All right, let's take some phone calls instead. Where do you want to go? Put an arrow up, will you? Let me know where we're going. Let's get this ship pointed in some direction. What's that? Oh, Jordan in Calgary. Hello, you're first.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm okay.
First off, thanks for taking my the time to talk, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
My question for you is... do you think that becoming a professional hockey player could be one of the most difficult, maybe even risky decisions to make?
Why?
Because how dedicated a person must be, like, from a young age to even reach the NHL?
Nah, I don't see that. I see most kids love to play hockey.
Yeah.
Like, and would do it, they do it until they're 18, 19, 20 years old for nothing, essentially. No, I don't think it's, you know, is it difficult to get to the National Hockey League? Well, sure it is. You have to excel. But, like, I don't think it's more difficult than any other profession. To, you know, how many people are at the top of corporations? You know, how many people make the kind of money a professional athlete makes? And you know, I know that there's lots of variables here, but let's just say $1 million or more a year. How many people outside of sports make $1 million or more a year? A lot more people than are in sports. But it's tough. You got to be dedicated and you got to work hard. It'll take you longer to do it. I respect athletes, but I don't know too many athletes that have made significant money in their sports who didn't have the basic skill set, who weren't born with the talent. I understand dedication. I understand hard work. I accept that most of the people that make it in professional sports have those ingredients to some extent, some more than others, but nonetheless, it's not easy. But a lot of it is what you're born with, right place, right time. You know, where are you in the gene pool? I thank you for the call. We go to Rocky in Markham, Ontario. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I talked to you on Monday about the Blue Jays. The question you dodged was about the bullpen. Who do you think the Jays will go after? Do you think they're going to go in-house, maybe go with the farm system, like a player like John Stilson? Or they're going to sign a free agent like Alphonso?
Well, I can't answer the question because I'm not Alex Anthopoulos, and I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go. I would assume that they're looking for lower-end free agents at a reduced rate.
Right, because I think recently the Giants just signed Romo. We signed him. I was wondering if they're going to go after a guy like Rafael Soriano. And my other topic I want to talk about is Brandon Morrow signing with the San Diego Padres. The way the Padres are moving, they made monster moves this past couple of days, and they don't even have a stud in their starting rotation. And what do you think about what's your prediction about Brandon Morrow's numbers this upcoming?
Look, I'm a Brandon Morrow fan. I think he's got huge upside, huge talent. I wouldn't pay him $10 million a year, which is what the Blue Jays would have had to pay him under his existing contract. So they had the option, and they bought him out. I could have paid $1 million. I would have done the same thing. I can't sit here and tell you that I know that Brandon Morrow is not going to get anywhere near $10 million, and I wouldn't give it to him. I'd give him a one-year contract around $5 million, but I put him in the bullpen. He doesn't really want to be in the bullpen. And I think you have to be, you know, the Blue Jays have been patient with a lot of players over the years. McGowan certainly is one of those. You know, there's another guy that if nobody picks him up, could you see him coming back on a one-year deal for, say, $3 million, maybe $4 million? Yeah, I could see that. Could you see Casey Jansen coming back at, say, $5 million or $6 million for 1 year? I could see that. And those are the kinds of moves I'd look at. After that, I'd be reluctant to pay $5 million for anybody else's bullpen guy. I'm just not a big believer in paying big bucks for guys out of the bullpen. I think what you want is quantity. And just keep rotating guys and see who lights a fire. You don't know. You can't predict. There are, in the history of baseball, there have been so few long-term successful bullpen guys. So that's been my position all along. I think Alex is sort of thinking that way. I've asked him about it. He's a little more vague. But I'm pretty sure he's not prepared to pay the big dollar, the $10 million deal for a bullpen guy. Sydney, Toronto, hello.
Hey, how are you? Best of the season to you.
Same to you.
So you took my thunder away on that Jansen comment that you just threw in there as Obiter. I'm a big Casey Jansen file. The guy's been on, Casey Jansen fan. The guy's been on the team for 8 years. He had one bad month last year. He was sick with the flu, and he came in two or three times and did lousy. So it was a perfect storm. Sanchez was coming up at the exact same time. They wanted to give Sanchez the work. They had five starters, so they threw Sanchez in the fire instead of Jansen. My query is that, you don't want to give Jansen big money. I understand he's a free agent, but no one's bid for him yet. He's completely available.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know who they're talking to, and we don't know what kind of offers he has out there. But, all right, keep going.
Okay, all I was trying to say was, they've strung him along. It's been a few months. No one's touched him. They should totally grab him back. They don't have a stopper. He's got the experience. He comes relatively cheap.
Well, you don't know that. See, he made $5 million bucks last year, but you don't know what he's looking for. You don't know what the number is that the agent's asking for. Is he asking for a 3-, 4-, 5-year contract? I'm not giving him that. I'm giving him a 1-year deal if he wants it.
No, he deserves more than one.
No, I give him. I'm going to give him a 1-year deal. I just don't believe in relievers. I'm sorry. You wanted to go to free agency? Okay. If you can find somebody else who'll give you $5 or $6 or $7 million for in a multi-year deal, take it. I'm not giving it to you.
Here's my other question, Norris. I heard the other day someone said that they're thinking of putting Sanchez now as the stopper,
right?
Until he's ready to start, you know, give him a year or two in the bullpen. I'm not really sure the stopper is the place I would start somebody. If you want to start somebody, you put him in middle relief, not as a stopper. But anyways, is there a chance that maybe Norris gets the fifth spot instead of Sanchez?
I think it all depends on how the two guys pitch at spring training. You can say all you want in the middle of December. I think it's going to come down to who does what, who shows what in the months of February and March.
But they both make the team.
Sanchez makes the team. Norris depends on what they decide to do with him. If Norris outpitches Sanchez and you really think, and you don't have a closer, I could see Norris being the fifth starter and Sanchez being out of the bullpen as the closer, as you suggested. I can see that happening.
Right.
But I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I think the concept is, let's take both of them. Let's see what we see over the course of the first 3 or 4 weeks of spring training. I think both of them are going to get starts in spring training. And whoever they think is better in the starting role will be projected to be the fifth starter at the beginning of the season. The other guy will become the closer. He'll have 2 or 3 weeks at the end of spring training to kind of get his act together in that role. And both of them have come out of the bullpen, so you know, it's not a big issue. The other way is a much bigger issue. Both of them are going to stretch out. Both of them are going to start. And then you're going to see what you got. And I think that's the way to do it. I understand the importance of the closer, but I don't think, you know, this is a hard one, but I'm not sure a closer is more important than a starter. And you just don't have a guy in Sanchez that's going to be a fourth or fifth starter on your club. You project him to be a top of the rotation guy in 2, 3, 4 years. Top of the rotation guy. You know, this is a kid who's got a chance to make $20, $25 million a year. That's the kind of potential he has. I don't see that in Norris. I see in Norris a middle rotation guy. So I'm not messing with Sanchez simply to make Norris happy. And then if Sanchez becomes the fifth starter, do you put Norris in the pen for a year? Or do you send him back to Buffalo or even to Double A and just wait because you know there's going to be an injury? You know you're going to call him up at some point. It's a real interesting question, but those are the kinds of things you sort out in spring training. You don't have to have 25 guys inked on a piece of paper. All right, at the beginning of spring training, this is who we are. This is what we're going to be. Competition is healthy. Having multiple choices is a good thing, not a bad thing. Johnny in Hawaii, hello.
Melikai Kiwaka to you and your family, Mr. McCowan.
How are you?
Well, not too bad.
Good.
How's the weather in the Big Smoke?
It was actually partly sunny today.
Oh.
A little chilly, around zero Celsius, but it's okay.
No problems. Okay. I have a couple of questions for you. I listen to your show on a regular basis while I'm sitting on the beach here enjoying a cocktail. And I want to have an argument with regards to your Las Vegas plan. Because
yep.
Have you read anything about, I know you guys made comments about, firstly, the Maloof people. And did you realize they went basically bankrupt because they backstopped Palm's place during the
Oh, I know all about the Maloofs. I used to go to one of their hotels. I used to live just up the road from the Fiesta when they first were starting back in the 90s.
Okay.
So I certainly know the family and their history.
Okay. The other thing is, do you know where they're putting the casino in Las Vegas and how it's basically going to be on the Strip?
The arena, you mean?
Yes, that's what I meant.
I don't know exactly where it's going to be, but I'm told it's going to be on the Strip.
The New York and Monte Carlo.
Okay.
So it's on the Strip. And the plan is...
That's the worst place you can put it, by the way. If you live in Las Vegas and you want to go to a sporting event, the last place you want to go if you live in Vegas is on the Strip.
Correct, because it's a gong show on a daily basis.
It's a gong show.
But it's the right place when you talk about possibly getting tourists. And did you see how they want to structure the games, that they want to do it on Tuesday nights? As you know, as a former Las Vegas resident, Tuesday is a hot night to have a night off, as is Thursday to have a night off.
Yeah.
So they want to schedule the games, and Saturday games they want to schedule around 3 o'clock so you could still have an evening out and still do your thing as if you're a tourist. I think some of the if they can do that and schedule it correctly, I do think it can be a success because with the right money behind it, it is a fast-growing city.
You know, I give you the possibility it could be successful, but I wouldn't bet on it with my nickels. I wouldn't put hockey there. I'd put a basketball team there tomorrow. If the NBA was going to go to Vegas and they said, Bob, you want to throw some money into the kitty? I'd say, sure, I'll do that for the NBA.
Bob, can I make if there's comment?
If they put a baseball team in there and built a climate-controlled stadium, I'd bet on that. Hockey is so far down the list at the level of interest in Las Vegas, I have a very difficult time believing that the fan base will attend. And if you're relying on tourists...
I agree with tourists, but can I make one comment here?
Sure, you can say whatever you want.
The comment I would make is I think the casinos as a group possibly do not want NBA because of the gambling that happens on NBA, and they may have the lowest risk in their sports gambling on hockey. And remember, in baseball in the summertime, that's the only basically action except for some soccer that's basically being...
Yeah, the only thing is, they're not taking... Wait a sec. You're not taking all the NHL games off the board. All you're doing is taking the Las Vegas games off the board. That's what they did with UNLV years and years ago. You used to be able to bet UNLV basketball.
And what did they ask for? All of Canada to have no more pro line?
Yeah, but that was the previous commissioner. That was David Stern. That was 20 years ago. Things have changed. The new commissioner is a proponent of the legalization of sports betting across America. So he says, that ship has already sailed. Now, what I would guess they would do is take... which is the law now, no Nevada-based team gets a line on the board. You can't bet on the game. So UNLV, University of Reno, that's pretty much it.
None of the Nevada teams are on the board.
No Nevada teams are on the board. It's a law. I think it went into existence in the late 80s, but I'm not 100% sure. I lived there in the from 84 to 88 full time. It might have been while I was there, because I'm quite certain UNLV games were on the board then when I first went there, and then they took them off. I should know the answer to that, but I just don't. I honestly don't remember. But no Nevada-based team, pro or amateur. Well, it's pretty much all amateur. Is on the board. But the league, you can bet all the other games. It's not that big a deal. To Jeff in Burlington, Ontario. Hi.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on, regular listener. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Same to you and yours.
Thank you, sir. I just want to ask you a quick question. Listen to you every day. About a week or two ago, you briefly alluded to the expansion into Quebec, the NHL.
Yep.
And you mentioned, Gary likes things done quietly and calmly with no fanfare, right?
Yep.
I guess my question is, why is there no market
I guess, official market assessment being done in Quebec?
Because I don't think you need it. I think you already know what the market is. You've been there. Been there, done that. You know, did they do a ticket drive in Winnipeg before they moved the Thrashers there?
Right.
No.
And that's my second point, and I'll just take your answer off the air. Bob, I have a lot of family in Quebec, and one of my uncles had corporate money there invested previously in one of the teams, and we were just talking recently, and if a team did come back, he would once again, you know, be a participant in the box, if you will, a box yep. is left. I just don't get why there's not a lot of talk about, you know, getting into Quebec and taking really the found money that is there.
Well, and I think you answered your own question at the beginning of this, and that is that Gary likes to keep things quiet. When the Quebec Quebecor people decided to put Peledo specifically, decided to build a new arena, he was very vocal. The Quebec people were extremely vocal. And what they were told is, shut up, do what you have to do, and then we'll talk. But stay out of the media. It's what Winnipeg did. It's what everybody that's got an expansion team essentially has done. It's one of the reasons, it's not the primary reason, but one of the reasons Balsley never got a team. Because they talked. So things have gone deathly quiet in Quebec while they're building the arena. $400 million arena is being built. Quebec will get their team back. I don't know exactly when, but I'd bet you within the next couple, 3 years. And if this Vegas thing goes forward, maybe you do a Quebec-Vegas deal. Although then you're going to have to find another team to go back to the Western Conference. Maybe you put Quebec in the West. That's a nasty road trip and a half, isn't it? Eek. Well, Detroit did it for years and years. The Toronto Maple Leafs were in the West. So, you know, what's North got to do with it? My producer's telling me Quebec's further north. That's good. You know that. You've actually opened a book. Look at you. One more before the break. To Greenwood, Nova Scotia, here's Mark. Hello.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing these days?
I'm well.
I'm a first-time caller.
I'm glad you called.
Right on. I got a couple points about the Edmonton Oilers, and I'd like to see what you have to say about them. I think they got it all wrong, starting with the GM and Kevin Lowe. They keep on going after draft pick after draft pick after draft pick, and the thing is, they all want to build their team up on young players, and obviously hiring and firing coaches one after another isn't the right call here, and I don't think it's the coaches. I think they need to make a multiple-player trade, and one player even being traded off that team or added on to the team is not going to do anything to their circumstances. What do you got to say about the plans of their future, and what's your opinion on the
Well, I've made my path. I've said basically what you just said. I think Bob Nicholson is there to assess the management scenario, and I think he'll make change at the end of the season. Number two, I believe you have to undo this group and trade one of your big four or five, at least one. And I understand you're not going to get the value that you perceive you deserve, but you need change even for the sake of change. I believe that this group has been together long enough now and are showing virtually no signs that in the future they are going to be even competent. Therefore, it is time to slowly but methodically make some moves. I would move one of these guys as soon as possible. I would see how it goes for a couple of months. I'd consider moving a second guy at the trade deadline if you don't see the desired results.
Well, Bob, I got one thing to say. I got one thing to say there. You got my vote for the GM spot there in the Oiler land.
yeah, thanks a lot. Another job I don't want. 24 minutes past the hour. We'll take the break, come back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Toronto Raptors basketball. Raptors and Pistons. Tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports.
Seven minutes before the hour, primetime continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Here are the telephone numbers. If you want to get in on the conversation, better do it fast. 870-590-star-590 or 1-888-666-0590. Later, John Shannon, Elliot Friedman, Scott Stinson, a roundtable. Coming up at the top of the hour to Ernie in East York. Hello.
Hi, Bob. The Argos are... I'd like to get turfed out of the Rogers Center in the upcoming years. And one of the big complaints they've had is that they weren't able to get good dates for the games that they wanted. They were a second-tier tenant. And now there's talk that they're going to be put into BMO Field, the expanded BMO Field. And I don't see how that works as a solution because they're going to be a second-tier tenant there. Soccer's got the capability, especially once they expand it and put more exhibition games on there, and if TFC ever have a good season, you're looking somewhere between 30 and 40 games being played there in a typical soccer season, and they're going to have to find a way to wedge in football games around that, and it's not going to be easy. The other thing, of course, is soccer's going to be seeing football come into play in the second half of the season and into October when possibly both teams are in a playoff situation. And so you're seeing the games, it'd be harder to schedule playoff games because you don't have control over those dates like you do regular season. So you wind up with a situation where the field could be chewed up to hell. The quality of the games played there will decline at the most important times of the year. And you're going to wind up with, you know, two sets of pissed off fans, and maybe not so much the football, but certainly the soccer crowd. And I never hear any vision from Argo fans or Argo administrators or CFL administrators about trying to do something different. Like, maybe take the Pan Am Games Stadium site and try and work with that and create not just a home for the Argos, but a home for Canadian football where you can put the game there and make a showcase for it and give the game the priority that it needs and give both sets of sports fans bang for their buck. What do you think?
Well, the dilemma you have is you have a cheap owner who doesn't want to pay for anything, and in fact, who wants to sell the franchise. And you need to build a new stadium. Even then, I don't know whether you can revitalize the Toronto Argonauts. I'm not convinced you can.
I believe it, Bob, because in my house, I've got teenage kids who've been running through our hallways and rooms for years now, and I've never once heard them talk about the CFL. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to see the Argos expire. I just think somebody's not thinking through this whole solution properly, you know?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but the truth is that, we've been thinking about it for years and years, decades even. Under a previous commissioner, I was asked to go to a meeting to try and resolve the issues that faced the Toronto Argonauts then. And they weren't nearly as dire as they are now. And the answer becomes, unless you have somebody who's committed to putting in the money, and we're talking $100+ million, maybe not $200 million, but $100+ million to build a stadium. Unless you do that, I don't know how you fix it. And even then, it's no guarantee. I think you'd increase attendance significantly for a few years, and then even that dwindles. You know, you talk about the soccer team. I get they're crappy, and they've been crappy since they've been here. But there are a lot of empty seats at soccer games, TFC games now. You know, the days of we've got 18,000 people waiting for seats. I mean, does that still exist? Are all those seats sold? People just aren't going? I don't know. You know, when they took they decided to change from artificial turf to natural grass because of the purity of soccer. Well, how do you bring the Toronto Argonauts in and let them chew up a field on a muddy night? on a rainy night. How do you fix that? It's a huge cost involved if you have to replace turf. So there are a whole bunch of questions to which there are no clear answers. Now, I am told that discussions are ongoing with MLSE about buying the Toronto Argonauts. I told you back in the summertime that the deal that others said was done was not done. In fact, was undone. People associated with the CFL continue to tell me that, and the Argonauts continue to tell me that conversations with MLSE are ongoing. Are they? Are they serious? I have no idea. But I have no idea why MLSE would want to bring the Toronto Argonauts into the fold. A franchise that loses $6 or $7 million a year. I don't know how you fix it. And you're doing it, you're going to have to build a bigger stadium. You have to tear down one end of BMO Field because it doesn't fit in there. So that's going to cost you tens of millions of dollars. Then you're going to hope you can put 20, 25,000 people in there just to break even. Then you've got an issue with the soccer fans who would hate it if football players were trudging around on their precious grass. I'm sorry, but am I missing something? I don't see how this works. I think the smartest thing MLSE has done in years is walk away from that conversation. Are they back in it? It's hard for me to figure out why. Spike, Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm swell.
I'd like to talk about the Leafs and the Oilers possibly looking to each other to solve some of their individual problems. Leafs seriously need some cap space or they're going to lose some decent players. And as you said before, you don't think their core is going to do anything as it's constituted. I somewhat agree. I'm thinking maybe if we were to send some of our higher priced producing veterans, Dion Phaneuf, Joffrey Leupold, James Reimer, not all in one, whatever works for them, for some of their younger players, that would give them some veteran presence and maybe help them to not be such losers next year with their new draft pick. We would get some salary cap relief to keep some of our younger guys like Kadri and Franson. And I think, you know, there could probably be a fit there. I'm not going to specify which players. It's more so, you know, even talent-wise, I would hope, but, you know, solving some of the needs for both teams. And before I let you go, I just want to say that was a great idea your last caller had. Instead of letting the Pan Am Games come here, use up a bunch of taxpayer dollars, build a bunch of crap, and then never see Canada again. At least if they build something, they should build it with the Argonauts in mind so the Argonauts would have somewhere to go. And instead of having, like, an Olympic stadium unused in Montreal or Quebec, wherever it is, or, you know, stadiums like in China, Beijing, just rotting back into the earth because they only use them for the Olympics or whatnot.
Right. I thank you for the call. Look, I don't know what conversations took place between the Toronto Argonaut ownership or management and the Pan Am Games people. I have no idea. But I would have been having that conversation. Clearly. I know there's some Pan Am money in the Hamilton Stadium. Could there have been another site, a joint venture between the Argonauts and the Pan Am Games? And the answer is theoretically yes. The problem is this owner doesn't want the team anymore. He wants to sell it. He's not interested in investment spending. He doesn't mind losing money, I guess. Well, he minds, but he'd rather not. But what did the Toronto Argonauts spend this season on marketing and promotion? I don't think I heard one promotional announcement or commercial for the Toronto Argonauts all year. I don't think I heard one. Now, maybe they're only advertising on the other network because that's where their deal is. And I don't spend a whole lot of time watching or listening to the other network, so Maybe I just missed it. But if you're spending money and you're not on this station, you're crazy. If you're trying to market a sports property and you're not on the number one station in the country, why? And my guess is they didn't spend very much of anything. And they're not prepared. The current owner is not prepared to put money in to build a stadium on behalf of a football team. Why would he? He's trying to sell it. He's trying to get out. It's a mess. Spencer, St. Mary's, Ontario. Hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Swell.
I'd like to talk to you about the Leafs. My question is, do you think Nonis has done a good job so far? Do you think Nonis has done well so far?
Well, I think he's fine. He's done okay. I think you have to be impressed with the quality of talent that he's assembled for the third and fourth lines. He's got more scoring punch. He got rid of the goons. I think in general terms, yeah, he's done he's done an okay job.
Now, I have another point too, Bob, that I'd like to get to. Personally, I don't think the Leafs are good enough. I know they're not good enough.
We all know they're not good enough for a Stanley Cup, if that's what the objective is. Which
I think
it should
that should be their ultimate goal, but I think it's pretty clear that their ultimate goal right now is to make the playoffs.
Well, and I agree with that assessment. I've said that repeatedly, that the bar is set so low for this organization now, and they failed to jump over it. We want to be one of the 16 best teams in the National Hockey League. And what is it, 8 of the last 9 years, they failed that objective. I mean, that's pretty bad. What I find very interesting today is the Toronto Maple Leafs lose one hockey game and already the naysayers are out. You know, they win, what, 10 of 12 or 9 of 11 or whatever it was, and nobody said a word. One loss in Carolina, and can we trade with Edmonton? Can we fire the general manager? Sonny Woodbridge, hello.
Season's greetings, Bob.
Same to you.
I want to talk about Jason Kidd and Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
Start off with Jason Kidd. You think he'll make the Hall of Fame?
I wouldn't put him in.
No?
No, he might be. Borderline. My standards are pretty high for Halls of Fame. I saw Jason Kidd as a good player. At times, a really good player. I never saw him as a Hall of Famer. But that's my personal opinion.
What about early candidate for Coach of the Year? The Milwaukee Bucks have really improved a lot.
I think the guy sitting here in Toronto's got a lock on that right now. You might say Golden State has been a big surprise. But I don't think there's any... If the Toronto Raptors finish in the top two or three in the East, you got to give him a lot of votes. He's going to get a lot of votes. It's about expectation and then delivery. If the expectation is low and the delivery is high, coaches get votes. And I think Casey gets a lot of votes because I pegged him for 52 wins and people laughed at me before the season started. So, I think right now, I mean, they're on track for a lot more than that. I think they're going to hit the 52. But Casey right now, I think, would probably be my number one choice.
Johnny Manziel, do you see him having a long, successful career in the NFL?
Not with Cleveland.
No.
Historically, I don't think there's any reason to believe that. Tim Couch was on with us yesterday. Former Browns quarterback, former number one draft choice, 1999.
Yep.
Last guy to take him to a playoff game. And I don't think we know enough about Manziel as a pro. Can you play the way he played in college in the pros? Answer, no. Can this guy learn to be a pro quarterback? Answer, don't know.
Do you think it was a mistake putting him Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I would let Hoyer play the entire season. I would let him play the whole season out. If Hoyer plays poorly in the first half, like they did two games ago, bring Manziel in the second half. Your season's over. not making the playoffs. Really, the other thing you have, issue you have is that Hoyer is a free agent at the end of the year. And so I guess they've decided that they're not going to try and bring him back. And that being the case, Manziel's going to be your number one guy next spring. I mean, I see things in Johnny Manziel that I like, but I see a lot more things that are raw rookie mistakes. And that's okay. Cleveland has had a history of bringing in young, unproven quarterbacks and then letting them go, not giving them the time to find out who they are, what they are. I mean, Kelly Holcomb was pretty good when he came in. Hoyer was great when he came in, 3-0 last year before he got hurt. I mean, there's been a long history of that. Here's a kid. Oh, he can play. McCoy, who's at Washington now. You know, he played pretty well for a few games. I'm more interested in the long term. Oh, here are all the quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns. You know, Anderson. Well, Quinn was a bust. McCoy was decent. Whedon had a few good games. Not many. Not enough. One of those 28-year-old out of University of Florida or Florida State. I can't remember which. So, if you're going with Johnny Manziel, there's going to be pain before there's gain. This organization has not shown a willingness or an ability to put up with that pain. Having him play start the last three games of the year, I think is more a decision that they're going to let Hoyer go to free agency. And I think they made that decision. And that was the basis by which they decided to make the change now. Otherwise, Hoyer still had a winning record for his career with the Cleveland Browns. Think about that statement. A winning record as a quarterback with the Cleveland Browns, who haven't made the playoffs since I don't can't remember when. That's pretty good. Now, he was horrible the last 3 or 4 weeks. But that's what this organization has done. I mean, they are in complete and total panic mode. This is a above decent young team that only needs a starting quarterback to be efficient. They don't need a great starting quarterback. They just need an efficient starting quarterback. Hoyer was that guy. At one point, he had a record of 9-4 or something as a career starter. That's pretty good. That's real good. But I don't know where this thing goes. But Johnny Football is the quarterback for the rest of the season, I assume. And he will be the starting quarterback next year for the Cleveland Browns. He needs a big game. A decent game. Not a big game. A decent game against Carolina. Because he got killed against Cincinnati. We'll take the break. Scott Stinson, Elliot Friedman, John Shannon are coming in. Primetime Sports will continue with the roundtable on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.